Hi friends, this is Wes Ward. It's been a while since I've done a recorded teaching, and the Spirit of the Almighty God's been dealing with me the last few days with all this stuff that's been going on in this world with this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. We've seen our lives disrupted, changed. There's so much, seems to be so much confusion going on right now with the media, the mainstream media. We don't know whether to believe what they're telling us. Social media, we don't know. They claim there's a lot of other stuff going on. You can see one thing and you start believing it, and then the next thing, a little bit later on, or maybe a day or two later, you find some information that debunks that. I mean, it's like some of it may have a little bit of truth to it, or maybe a little bit true, but it's twisted. And I mean, we don't know what to believe and what not to believe anymore. But it's just like the works of Satan. In the Garden of Eden, if you'll remember, he took a little bit of truth, but he twisted it. And that's what we're seeing in this, not only in this state of Oklahoma or Texas, but in the United States and in the world. It's like, I'm a black and white person, yes or no. You know, that's the way I see things. I don't need all the other stuff. But I just want truth. And I think there's a lot more of you out there that are like me that want truth. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you that there's only one source of truth. Real truth. You know, I was raised that my dad told me, said, son, if your word ain't no good, you're no good. And I've always tried to honor my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I stand behind what I say. And if I can't, then I'm going to be honest with the people and tell them what's up. But it's this world we live in is twisted. People tell you what they want you to hear. They won't give you all the truth. Well, that's deception. You know, I realize this message may not be for everyone, but it's definitely for those who have an ear to hear. I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. And I'm here to share some truth, or the truth, I should say, with you. The truth. You know, on social media, everybody's sending stuff, and, you know, there's so much fear created through this pandemic. And I've always kind of had the mindset, what I don't know probably ain't going to hurt me. And I'm not going to live in fear. I'm a child of the most living God. And we live by faith. And I try to think of myself, what would Jesus be doing if he was on this planet right now? Would he be living in fear? No. So we should walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. That's the reason he came to this planet, to give us an example to live by. You know, I don't know if if you realize this or not, but each and every one of us that are going through a history-changing time in history. Things have never been shut down like it is today. People can't, you know, events close down, and I mean, this 6-foot social distancing that's out there, and all the restaurants. You know, I eat out all the time. I can't even go sit down in a restaurant and eat anymore. But we are not to live in fear. For the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. But we were all predestined by God to be here during this time period. I heard a prophet of God saying one time, I actually got the teaching on a CD about these two clouds. There was a white cloud, a glory cloud, and a big, black, ugly cloud. And this deep, dark cloud was just engulfing the people. And some people were running to the dark cloud. It was just overtaking them. This was a vision that the prophet of God, Mark Barclay, had many years ago. Well, that's what we're seeing now, is this deep darkness cover the people. I don't know if you're like me, I want truth. And that's the reason I'm here today, is to share truth with you. There, in my opinion, there's only one source of truth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There have been more documents of this one man that walked this planet around 2,000 years ago. He was crucified and died, buried, and on the third day, he arose from the grave, came back alive, a dead man. But now he's alive, walking and talking in his new glorified body. He appeared. The Bible scholars think he appeared to over 1,000 people in a 40-day period before he ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, our Creator. Now you think about what this man, there's been no other man, there's been prophets, but no other prophets or no other person has ever come back alive like Jesus did. So here's a man that I'm really going to pay attention to, because he is who he said he was. He came to do what he said he was going to do, and he is coming back. So this man, Jesus, in the book of John 17:17, he says, sanctify them. No, wait a minute. He's praying to the Father about his disciples. This is a prayer that he's praying to God about his followers. But guess what? I'm a disciple of Jesus. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? If you are, this is for you. He's praying to the Father for us. He says, sanctify them. That'd be us. By your truth. Your word is truth. Now wait a minute. Here's Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. He's a part of the Holy Trinity. He says, Father, sanctify them, sanctify my disciples by your truth. Your word is truth. So we got to take ownership of this book called the Bible, the Holy Bible. I heard it said one time that it stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. This book, see, let me explain this to you right quick. I'm sitting here recording on the 28th day of March, the year 2020. This is going on record. Somebody could play this 300 years from now. But somebody is probably not going to believe that I'm actually sitting here doing this 300 or 400 years from now. So that's what this book is, the Holy Bible. It's accounts of recorded things that happened many years ago. It's one of the oldest books on this planet. So these things actually happened. You know, I love what John 8, 31 and 32 says. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word," the word, "you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You shall know the word, and the word will set you free. See, we have the word in three different forms. The written word is what we read in this book. And mine is a New King James Version. I like it because my pastor preaches from the same version. I can follow word for word. But we have different translations, of this word. But this word is a written word on paper. But if you want to really understand a real meaning of a lot of different things, like in the Old Testament, you see the wrath of God, but a lot of the words, if you study the Hebrew language, they're going to be permissive instead of causative, meaning God had to permit it because of what man or women were doing. He didn't cause it. He had to permit it, had to allow it. So, but we got it in the English translation. That's where a lot of confusion. That's the reason you need a preacher, and a good one, to teach you the word. But the written word, we have the written word, and then once you start meditating on these scriptures, memorizing them, then you start speaking them, they become the spoken word. And then the spoken word becomes the living word. So we got the truth in written form, spoken form, living form. That's good. But I've heard this several times by some friends of mine. They'll say, "Well, the Bible was written by man." The Bible was written by man. Well, partially true. But let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you an example here. You've got a president of a company. He wants to send out a letter to several of his partners or people that he does business with. So he calls in his secretary and he tells her what he wants to put in this letter. And she takes shorthand and she's writing notes down. She gets on the computer and types this letter up, and then she emails it out to all these different people that this president of this company wants this letter to go to. So my question is, who wrote the letter? The president or the secretary? Well, actually, the secretary wrote the letter. But the letter was inspired by the president. I want you to listen here to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It says, "All scripture." That don't mean some of it. That don't mean just the New Testament. That don't mean just the Psalms or the Proverbs. It says all Scripture. That would be from Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, inspired by God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, or we could even say the man or woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this book is inspired by God. You know, the Holy Spirit inspired me to be here today. I drove 1 hour one way to be here just to make this teaching. The Holy Spirit's been dealing with me several days now, inspired me to come do it. I ain't doing it for me. I got other things I'd just soon be doing, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired this teaching today. Do you remember the story about Jesus being baptized and he goes into the wilderness and he battled Satan? He went 40, listen to this, 40 days without any food. Whew, don't you know he was real weary? I mean, I fast meals at times, but I've been on a 3-day fast several times, but my goodness, that's stretching it for me. But 40-day fast? And Satan comes to him with the first temptation. See, Jesus has been tempted every way we here on earth. He defeated it for us, so we may have victory. But the very first temptation that Satan throws at Jesus, we find it in Luke 4:4. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." That means food. Man shall not live by food alone, but by every word of God. That means from Genesis to Revelation, this is our food for our spirit, for our mind. We got to renew our mind to this, to who we are in Jesus, to what we have, what the blood of Jesus did for us, what the blood of Jesus did to us, and gave us the ability to do. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God is God. God and His Word are one. What was God doing in the book of Genesis whenever He was speaking things into creation? Let there be light. He was speaking the Word. He is the Word. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us here on earth. Jesus came down. God came down and walked with us and taught us. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:35, He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The Word of God was here in the beginning. The Word of God will be from now on, will always remain. Friends, that's truth. Truth. of the only truth there actually is. You know, these are times that this is new territory for us. I asked my mom, she's 82 years old, I said, Mom, you ever remember anything like this? She said, never in my lifetime. I mean, this has never happened where everything's been shut down. And can't go nowhere, can't do things like we normally did. Our lives have been disrupted. But I have compassion for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and don't know this word and don't know what the blood of Jesus did to them and for them and gave them the ability to do. Friends, I'm very blessed. Very, very blessed to be under the leadership that I'm under. It's been 10 years now. And I am so grateful because I feel like I'm really prepared for these times. But I have compassion for the people that aren't. That's what I'm here to tell you, friends, that truth is in this word and you need to give this word first place. You need to take this time and get reconnected, refocused. Adjust that dial just a little bit. Redeem the time. Redeem this time. Take advantage of it. Focus on the truth. Shut the world out. You know, I get so much stuff thrown at me. I'm not one to really forward a lot of things to other people anyway, especially on social media, but I just look at it and I'm like, all this is fear food. Creates fear, more fear. I'm here to try to help bring faith. That's the reason I'm doing this teaching here, to help build faith through truth. I just want to help people. This ain't about me, friends. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, these sayings I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. It's what we need, friends, God's peace. God's peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Yeah, this is tough times. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Those of us who are in Christ, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. This prophet of God that I was talking about earlier, Mark Barclay, I heard him prophesy, it's been 2 or 3 years ago, about a great awakening that's coming. A great awakening where people are going to pay attention. Their eyes are going to be opened up. Friends, it ain't coming no more. It's here. This is the beginning of the great awakening that was prophesied a few years ago. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Friends, I want to mention again, we were all predestined to be here for this time. You know, whenever I was 9 years old, I wrote in English class that I wanted to be a preacher when I grew up. And I had my water baptism whenever I was between 11 and 12 years old. They gave me a children's Bible, and I was sitting one day at the kitchen table, and I was reading in the Gospel of Luke. I was just a little boy. And I thought it was God talking to me that said that once I read this book, the Holy Bible, I would die. I thought it was God. My daddy had programmed me to be tough. I closed the book. I pushed it away from me. I said, Lord, I'll read this later on in life. I'm not ready to die. But Satan had instilled so much fear for the word. I wouldn't read the word. I'd go to church, but I was a believer that had no word in them. How stupid, how foolish I was. But I wasn't discipled, and I didn't talk to nobody about it. It was darkness that I kept on the inside of me. But now, here I am teaching and preaching to you about the word. Years later. I never wanted to be a preacher, friends. I don't see myself as a priest. But I spend a lot of time with God, and he talks to me. I see myself as a messenger. And I'm here to tell you today, it's time to come to the Lord if you're not walking with God. If you've never made the decision to receive what Jesus done on the cross for you, hey, I'm here to do it right now. You know, God gave us the Ten Commandments to reveal our sinful nature. Have you ever committed adultery? Adultery is giving love to someone else that it don't belong to. You're giving someone else's love away. Jesus said, if you look at another person with lust in your eyes, you have committed adultery of the heart. I'm guilty. So if you commit adultery, what does that make you? An adulteress? What about, have you ever told a lie? Thou shalt not bear false witness. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, well, what about a little white lie? A lie's a lie. If you tell a lie, what does that make you? A liar? Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever stole a post from somebody else's Facebook? Shared it on yours? Stealing. What do you call somebody who steals? A thief. Have you ever had any other gods before God? Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Friends, your God is who you serve. Are you serving God? Or is rodeo your God? Or is your horse your God? Or is sports your God? Are your children your God? Your God is who you serve. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. So here we are, an adulteress, liar, thief, and we're guilty of idolatry, having other gods before God. Man, that right there shows us that we need a Savior. A Savior. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. But sorrow of the world produces death. What's the difference of sorrow, godly sorrow and worldly sorrow? Well, I'm glad you asked. The woman at the well in John 4, she'd been married several times. She met Jesus. She was a person that needed a Savior, that was looking for the Savior. Because she knew she wasn't good enough. She needed a Savior. That's godly sorrow. That produces repentance. That leads to salvation. Worldly sorrow. What's that? Well, you remember the rich young ruler? He come to Jesus and he said, good teacher. He didn't see him as a Messiah, the Savior of the world, but he said, good teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus gave him about 5 or 6 of the commandments right quick. And he said, well, I've kept all them since my youth. Evidently, he was a pretty good guy. Jesus nailed him and said, there's one you've left undone. Go sell all you have and come follow me. Go sell all you have and give to the poor. Well, it said he was a young, rich ruler. He probably inherited his wealth, and his wealth had been his God because that's where he found his significance, his identity. He was his own God. In one of the accounts, it said that he dropped his head and sorrowfully walked away. He couldn't give up his wealth. He wasn't going to be poor. Heck, none of the people that followed Jesus ended up poor. They all ended up better than what they first began with. Praise God. But he couldn't give it up. He thought he was good enough to go. He thought he was a good enough person. The Word of God in Romans 3 says that we have all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Me, you, everyone. We all need a Savior. If you've never made Jesus the Savior of your life, if you've never received Him, accepted Him, surrendered to Him, let's do it right now as we go in prayer. Father, we just come to you, Lord, with a humble heart of humility, and we come to you, Lord, and we just ask that if there's anyone out there hearing my voice have never come to know Jesus, to receive Him, Lord, for what He done on the cross. You know, the book of Romans tells us in the 10th chapter that if we believe in our heart that Jesus did come to earth, that He is the Son of the Almighty God, and that He did die on the cross and was buried and rose on the third day, that if we believe that in our heart, that He is the Savior of the world, and if we believe that His blood washes away our sins, that we will be saved, and confession is made with the mouth. And we thank you for this, Lord Jesus. Say, Jesus, come in me. Wash me clean. I receive you, Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you'll give me that new spiritual birth of what your word talks about, of being born again. And Lord, I just pray this is the beginning that start my life walking with you and asking for your guidance. And I thank you, Lord, now that I can come to know you and come to know the Father through a personal relationship. I ask this and I pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, welcome to the kingdom of God. And welcome to righteous living. What Jesus done for us, friends, made us righteous with our Creator. If you're looking for truth, keep looking to Jesus. He is the living word. Keep looking to his word, because God and his word are one. There's no other place to find truth. Redeem the time. Set apart time. Fellowship. Each and every day. All throughout the day. It ain't got to be a big prayer, long prayer, just a little short prayer. Find out who you are in him, in Jesus. Find out what you can do. Find out what you have. Get connected with a pastor that teaches the Bible. And may the joy of the Lord be your strength. Thank you, and God bless you.